Here's part two of my amazing interview with the amazing Lele Pons.
I threw meat and blood, waited until I saw tiger and bull sharks, and jumped in for 2 hours. Look, it's a freaking bull shark.
Let's talk about the growth of your career, because at some point you're switching now, you're on different platforms. At some point you gotta say to yourself, hey, this is really working, it's gonna be my career.
Yes.
I'm sort of a big deal.
Oh, when that's that, okay. You know, I feel like with you too, there's not like a limit. Like you don't get this far just to get this far. Because you love what you do, so you keep on going, you know? Yeah. So I can say right now, I made it. And then next year I'll be like, I made it. And then next year I'll be like, I made it, you know? So I feel like every year, every single step in my career has been my peak, you know? Everything has been different. Every day, my first song, my peak in that sense.
300 million views on your first song, I think, on YouTube or something.
Yeah,
so holy like, shit.
You see, that for me was a peak. Another peak, meeting my best friends, peak in my personal life, meeting Guayna in my song, peak. When I have kids, might be my peak, you know? So I think in my career wise, it was very different. It was music. It was, God, I judged Miss Universe. I don't know what the F was that, but I'm so grateful. I loved judging Miss Universe. It was really cool, 2017. Dancing with the Stars.
Peak 30 second season.
That was a peak for me. It was just different. I always wanted to dance, and I did it in that way of like learning how to do it. It was beautiful. Dancing with the Stars was the best experience of my life.
The best experience?
Yeah.
Why was that the best? You've done so many amazing things. Why?
Because actually, it's really weird. Dancing with the Stars gave me discipline, structure, in a way that is different. You know, every single day you have to wake up at this hour. Like, you go here, you work out, you dance, you go back home, then you go here, you go to the. It was like a structure. It was discipline. It was you met a lot of good friends and a lot of people that were not in the same category as you. Not influencers. It was Ariana Maddox, reality TV show artist. In Broadway, there's Harry Jowsey, reality TV show. There's Sochi, Marvel movie star, incredible. There's Jason Mraz. Everybody was so different. It was no competition. Everybody was actually happy for your success. Everybody was trying to help you. It's weird. It's like Dancing with the Stars was probably the best experience because it was the most wholesome. It was the most supportive. Gave me all the tools that I needed to actually be able to do the executive functioning that I needed. I became so much more mature. I came back from Dancing with the Stars and I loved myself way more than before. I was on Dancing with the Stars, especially because it was the first time in my career, Dancing with the Stars, that I actually got maybe more love than hate on a project that I had.
That's absolutely insane to think about, but I think people don't know what's involved when you go on that show. So are you there for 2 weeks? So you have to commit each day and you're dancing every day? Or what's the program there?
So it's a month before. A month before, and he just Brandon was my partner. I love him. He was teaching me how to actually do like ballroom. It's different than reggaeton.
They give you your partner, or you choose your partner.
Apparently, some people chose. I didn't, but I would have chosen him. I love him. It was perfect partner. I loved him so much. I'm so grateful they gave me Brandon. Would have choose him again and again and again. So when they chose me with him, when I put me with him, I was super happy. We clicked immediately. He taught me ballroom, everything. And it's so crazy because I went into Dancing with the Stars because I really wanted discipline and I really wanted to, I wanted to do dancing a lot, always. I was like, I love dancing. Okay, cool. Win or lose, I want to learn something. So I learned how to do ballroom. A month later, after learning for a month, that's when you start the show. You learned one dance, and then you start dancing. You start learning one dance a week. It's crazy. You learn two dances 1 month, and then every week, one dance. Because you start getting more used to it, you know? It's like working out. Your body just remembers steps easier, faster. So it's 4 hours a day, every single day, for almost 3 months.
3 months? Yeah. So you're out of everything else, you have except dancing and posting. You're posting every day.
That's beautiful because you're so distracted. And when you work out also like that, and you're working out something that you love, it's like it gives you, like, it just makes you even a better person. I don't know, I love working out. I don't like working out, by the way, but I love dancing. So it was like the first time that I actually loved working out, and that helped me mentally. Workout helps you mentally. So I was in a great state.
When was the first time that you realized, I'm really famous? I mean, super famous.
I'm gonna tell you, like, there's three times in my life where I know that I've known that I'm very famous. My first meet and greet in New York from Vine. My first Vine meet and greet. I saw all the people that noticed me and wanted pictures of me. Huh, I'm famous, holy shit. Or I'm known, for sure.
Like what number of people showed up?
There's so many, like 300, something like that. Okay. 300, 400, that's a lot for me. Like back then, the hell? What? More than in my class, that's better. Okay, cool. So I think that meet and greet was great for me. It was in New York, long time ago, 2015 or 14. I think it was 2013 or so. I don't know, like that, like back, back, back. Then I think another time that I thought that, oh my God, I'm famous, is when Brandio started seeing, like, wanting to pay me to do stuff. I'm like, my God, like do you trust me so much? You think I have so much power? You know, I mean, I could, but like, damn, that's crazy. I think that the time that I thought I was like, wow, I'm actually famous is when my song was in the top global charts, 25th, for like weeks. Like, damn, that's a different level of famous, you know? Every single thing, winning the Teen Choice Awards, providing, like, things. I'm like, wow. But the moment that I was like, I'm actually not only famous, but I made history somehow, is now. So there's on TikTok, there's like a trend with my song Celoso, they put it on there. And it's about how I'm everyone's childhood. It's so weird. They put a picture of like, oh, this is my childhood. Swipe and it's me, Hannah, Juanpa, and Tuan as their childhood. And they see it, Lele Pons is my childhood, Lele Pons raised me, Lele Pons this. And I was like, that's when I know I made a mark. I made a mark on these kids' lives. And the people that are saying this, they're big though. Some of them are really, really big and they texted me and DM'd me. Like, I pushed them to become these people. And I'm like, how? Thank you. I'm super happy, but it just blows my mind. So I think that's this year, 2023, 2024.
I think you were famous well before that. I mean, at some point, you're the leading Viner ever. And,
yeah.
And then early Instagram, I mean, 54 million followers. By the way, there's 1.4 billion Instagram accounts today. Do you know what number you are in terms of the top?
100 something.
114. That's insane.
Thank you.
55 million followers, that's crazy.
Thank you.
I mean, there's only, what, 350 million people who live in the United States now. I know you have fans from around the world,
it's
Latin
crazy.
America.
It's crazy. My biggest fan base is Indian.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. I had Danielle Vasanova on my show last week, actress, model. I gained after the show a ton of followers, most from India, actually.
Right.
We can't really figure it out.
All my reels like go to like India. It's insane. It's great. I love India, and they have a song about me that has like 166 million views. It's I don't know what the name of the song is, but it literally says Se Te Nota and then Lele Pons in it. I don't know what the song is. It's an Indian song. It's an indie song. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
It's an indie song.
Independent song.
And it talks about me, so it's cool.
Did you want to be famous, and do you like being famous?
Did I want to be famous? Well, no, because Vine wasn't a thing. You know what I mean? So it's like it's not like now, like I'm not going to TikTok because like, you know, TikTok would, you know, it's trendy, it will make you famous. Vine back then in my school, people would make fun of me. Like people were like, what is this app? What is an app? So it's like, no, I never wanted to be famous. Am I happy to be famous now? Yes, because I'm not gonna be ungrateful. It has given me the friends that I have, it has given me the people that I know, the opportunities, Guayna, my dog, everything. I mean, like, you can't, like, yes, it's hard. It's really hard, but I would never take back anything. Every single thing that happened in my life, it led me here, and I have to be grateful for it. So I'm happy. That when I am.
When you're famous, I mean, again, it's good and it's bad. I mean, some people, movie stars can't leave their house. They can't go to a restaurant. I mean, Tom Brady can't go to a restaurant and go out to eat. But I think when you're famous as well, it's hard to have normal relationships because people kiss your ass. And there aren't a whole lot of people around you saying, hey, you know, Layla,
the thing with me is I've had I have an uncle that's really, really famous in Latin America. He's a singer. He's not a viner. He didn't show me how to do that. But he has, his whole life, I've seen how he has coped with fame. So growing up for 20 years with this man who has literally never had a scandal, he's been perfect, like he's handled it very well, it's taught me many things, you know? There's a way to, you know, we can't, like, listen, you cannot, it's hard to be famous, and there's many downs, you know? But you chose this, you know what I mean? You can leave. You can leave, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard, but you love to sing, you love to dance, you like to perform, you like to, you know, create and do that. People love you. People like what you're doing, so you're famous because of that. Keep it going, you know? And if you don't like something, take a break. Take breaks. That's what I do. When I don't like to be famous and I don't like the fact that I'm famous, I take breaks all the time. And then I come back stronger and I'm like, okay, I'm known. I did this to myself. Let's embrace it.
So many successful people I know. I know a few famous people. Some of them are really full of themselves. How have you managed to stay so incredibly humble after all the amazing things that's happened to you? I mean, you are a real, authentic person.
Oh, thank you. Are you saying that because it's in the script? I'm just kidding.
No, it's we've gone way off script.
Oh, sorry.
30 minutes ago, we've gone off script.
Sorry. How did I become humble? Well, first of all, my family. My family is so freaking honest. They're like, when I move, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't humble. I was the most bratty, not humble, mean person in the world 7 years ago when I moved to LA. Yeah. Well, when I moved to LA, I thought I was the shit. I thought this is of me. I'm the top of the world. Even people saw it. They're like, Lilith, full of herself. Yeah, 2021 is like there, right? I come back to Miami for a birthday. My family is there and they look at me and they're like, hey. Literally, like, there's a saying like, something, pon los pies en el piso. No, basta de vivir en las nubes. O sea, don't live in the clouds. Put your feet in the ground. Like, you're acting like this. We don't recognize you. You're doing this. O sea, they kind of sat me down and told me, hey, you are not allowed to disrespect the people here because you are, you know what I mean? Like, we are this. We are, like, we know who you really are. Go back to that. Like, they basically, I don't know exactly what they told me, but I came back from LA to Miami, sat down with my family because they saw a change in me. Like, I was full of myself and everything. They sat me down and they told me this. They like made me feel like shit. You know, they told me you're ungrateful. You're this, you're that, you're this. You're not gonna go anywhere with this damn attitude. I don't care if you're talented. You have to respect. You have to be on time when people want you to be on time. You're not allowed to, you know, some people are like, oh, I'll be 2 hours late. No, you gotta be on time. So they grounded me. And then,
I mean, like, you're an adult at this point. You can't leave your room lately? Like, grounded you? Don't come out?
No, they grounded me by, like, not giving me the attention that I always wanted. You know what I mean? Like they're not like, oh, my God, Lily, how is it? They're like, so, Lily, like it's different. When your family, like, your family grounds you in a way that, like, because they see you the way that you were before. You know? They know you more. And they know you. They know you very well. And I stopped taking my pills. And I stopped going to therapy when I went to LA, and a lot of shit went down. I was a workaholic, that's for sure, but a lot of shit went down. I was not proud of the person that I was. Those 3 years, I went back to Miami, talked to my family. They told me who I was. They told me, they reminded me where I came from, the people that have supported me, that have been there for me. They reminded me who they are, and they reminded me of things that could happen if I continue my life like this, you know? And then I started seeing people go away from me. People, my family started, you know, distancing themselves until I cleaned up my act. And then I went back to therapy take my medication. I listened to my family, and I have become the person that I am today because of that. I didn't lose myself. Yeah.
When we become successful, and our company, my company,
very young age.
Yeah, at a
very young age. Yeah.
So our company, a tech company that I co-founded, four founders of the company, went public when I was 33 years old. Within 2 months of going public, our company was worth $35 billion.
Wow.
And it was reported in the press, and don't believe anything that you read in the press because it's not true, especially when they're talking about people's net worth. But people said, they wrote I was worth a few hundred million dollars, and everybody kind of knew it's a big story. I'm from Detroit, and there was a profile about this kid who grew up and was bullied, stuttered, and then he moved to Los Angeles. He hit it big in the tech world, so everyone's talking about it. And people hold you up on a pedestal, right? And they're just waiting to shoot you down. You know, you're watching every word, and if your hair is out of place or you accidentally offend somebody, even if you don't try, I mean, it's a lot of pressure on you. And I know you've experienced the exact same thing. So talk to us about that. Even when you're in a restaurant, you've talked about people commenting on how much you tip the waitstaff.
Mm-hmm. I always ask. I suck at that. I'm always like, what do you want? when I have to tip, I'm always like, I don't, whatever you want.
When people say $1,000.
I ask the manager.
Huh? You ask the manager. There's usually something on the machine that says 18, 25.
I usually do like 25.
Yeah.
25%.
But what about the pressure? I mean, everyone's looking to take shots at you, right? I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't happy for you and they're just waiting for you to offend somebody. I mean, you've experienced that?
Everyone. I mean, I don't think that's why you only have like 5 good friends in your hand right there. And you have many, many friends, but there's 5 that you can see that genuinely want the best for you, you know? But that's why when I came back and I was with my family or with the friends that I was with before, I trust them though. I trusted them. Whatever they said, they told me, they even told me, you continue like that, someone else, another Lele Pons, another person's gonna come and take your spot because that person's nicer, that person has more respect, it is on time and everything, and you're gonna be replaced. If you don't change your act and actually give people a side that's more human, this is not you, they said to me. And I was just like, whatever. Come back to LA, shit happened, many, many mistakes. I lost friends. And then right there, I was like, my therapist, I'm so sorry I have not talked to you in like 4 years. I need to change. I want my family to be proud of me. It's not about like, oh, you're successful, that my family's proud. My family's proud of the person that I am as a human. I can be in my house not working. Am I good though? Am I a good person? You know, am I healthy, good? That's the most important. And I saw that. And I was like, I came back to Miami. But I changed it before, but I came back to Miami, 2019-20. I changed completely. People saw it. I was like, started working on myself a lot more.
When you do something that's high profile, in my case, it was making money at a young age, and of course, people are taking pot shots. I got all these new friends, right? Everyone wants to have lunch, people that wouldn't even give me the time of day. There was some famous movie producer, and I won't say his name, he's produced some of the biggest movies in the world, who just came up to me one day, a couple of his friends invested in our tech company. They had made more than $100 million each. And the guy comes up to me and says, hey, Randy, what's up? And I had core friends, and I wanted, number one, to stay who I was, be myself, stay humble. Mm-hmm. But it's hard at some point, you know, to stay humble.
When you're 16, 17, 18, and you're away from home, in another world that you're becoming famous, you're number one in something.
Right.
Huh. In LA, dark hole.
You got all these new friends, but how do you make friends at this point in your life?
Because now?
Because people want something from you, right? You're rich, you're famous, you're beautiful, you're glamorous. I'm sure you have amazing things, and I'm sure you got lots of people. I mean, how do you know people are real or authentic or want to be your friend for the right reason?
I'm more private. I really don't go out so much. Um, I I keep the ones that I that I don't really make new friends that much, you know. I love meeting people, but those new people that I know, I don't really put them in my life so much. I'm super social with everybody. I really do have the best friends, and I know everybody. Like, I had a wedding and everybody came. I love socializing. However, not all the people that were at my wedding are really let in my life. You know, they're colleagues, they're people that I love and I share. But the people that I let in my life, barely anybody. Nobody, almost.
You're social. People recognize you. They come up to you on the street.
Yeah.
And you have a reputation of being nice to everybody.
Does
it get annoying?
No. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't, like, when somebody comes up to you in the street and they're a fan of you, how would you want your idol to react to you? That's how I react. If Shakira or Taylor Swift was right there and I go up to them, how would I want them to react to me? So that's how I react.
What's the strangest thing that's happened to you of someone coming up to you on the street who didn't know you?
That didn't know me?
Yeah. Who? What's the strangest thing that's happened to you on the street where someone has come up to you and said something that was either outrageous or did something that's just crazy outrageous?
The thing is, like, I've done so many crazy things that I think that the crazy things that you're thinking, like, I don't probably normal in my eyes. Something crazy that someone has done to me. I feel like I do it before they even do it. Like, I don't know.
Like, when my son was on Melrose, he was 16 years old. Yeah. He had his phone. He ran into some influencer and said, hey, you know, can we shoot a video? And he says, hey, what's it like to be my girlfriend? And the influencer was fucking pissed. And I understand why she was pissed, but it's sort of hilarious. And he posted it online. He got like a million views on TikTok. And he was a hero with his friends for, I don't know, some short period of time.
I think no one's ever really done that. I mean, maybe one time, because I don't clap back, but I'm so honest. You know what I mean? So somebody was like, oh, how does it feel that, I remember, so how does it feel that Vine died? And I was like, oh, pretty sad, but it happens. And he didn't expect that, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm super real, and I'm like, oh. Like, so I don't think I've ever, there's a video of like somebody coming up to me and me being like super pissed. Nope.
You mentioned you've done some crazy things. What are the three craziest things that you've done?
I think on Vine, don't try this at home ever. I was dragged by a car, I think on Vine, yeah.
You're what?
Dragged by a car.
Yeah. That was a stunt you did.
A stunt I did.
You were on your back or on your side, or you wore, you know, bulletproof Kevlar clothing?
Dragged by a car. That's probably the craziest thing I've ever done.
But were you standing up? Were you just lying down on the ground?
Laying down on the ground. Yeah, it was
so fast.
Get a
little back massage on the pavement while you're doing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were cut out?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most crazy stunts I've done is that one. Actually, one of the craziest things I've ever done is, this is not good. I mean, I will never do this ever. I think this is the craziest thing I've ever done. I will never do this again, and I will never tell anybody to ever do this again. Ever. Don't. I had broken up with someone. And I just decided to grab a boat with a person, get meat and blood, go to Jupiter, very, very far, drive 4 hours away from Miami in the sea.
Yeah.
And I threw meat and blood. This person's not professional. And with my two friends, waited until I saw tiger and bull sharks, and with no help, nothing, jumped in for 2 hours and just like started like trying to touch them. Guys, that's actually like suicidal.
You but, jumped in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like for 2 hours trying to touch them, like 2 hours drunk.
Drunk?
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. That's the thing. That's really scary. This was a long time ago, but that horrible. I look back at it in the picture. Do you want to see the pictures?
Yeah. Gotta see this photo. This is insane. You know, and while you're looking for the photos, it's amazing how many people, especially young people, Instagrammers who are sitting on cliffs.
This wasn't even to post.
Things.
I never posted this.
Yeah.
This was for me.
Yeah.
That's the worst part. Not even content.
Yeah, but for all of the influencers that are there who are sitting on these cliffs 300 feet up, I think there were 84 deaths last year for Instagrammers who are doing dumb shit sitting on a cliff to get a photo to get followers. It's just, it's risky, it's not cool, it's stupid, and it's just so sad people are ruining their lives for doing stupid shit.
That's insane. That's what I'm saying, like, don't do that. Like, that was the dumbest thing, the craziest thing I've ever done was that. It's me. I did it to me. Like, I didn't do it to anybody. It's like me. It was really bad.
I'm terrified of sharks, so.
I'm terrified. I don't know what happened to me.
Terrifying.
I got this, like, camera person. It was me, my camera person, and a friend. Like, a camera person. Like, my friend. We had an underwater camera.
Your friend was in the water with you?
Yes.
Having a death wish as well?
Yeah, she's crazy. It wasn't Hannah, but she's crazy. She's crazy. Wait, so, okay, June.
I'm afraid of being eaten by a shark when I'm in a lake. That's how bad my fear of sharks is. Or some big fish is gonna eat my legs.
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing?
I do it.
What am I doing?
Oh my God.
No. Like, I'm alone. I'm not even in a cage.
Okay, let's show that photo. Can we get a close up of that on the screen there?
Can you
see it from there, or do we have to bring it
in? My friend's like a photographer, like a really good photographer, whatever.
Yeah. Can you show?
I never posted these.
Yeah.
Ever, because I was never to post. I just.
Yeah.
I didn't. So it wasn't for content. This is me and my friend right here. And then this is me and my friend.
Can you see these on the camera?
And then this is, look, I'm trying to touch the freaking, look, it's a freaking bull shark and a tiger shark.
That shark's like 8 feet long,
huge.
10 feet long. Huge! Oh my God, wait, go back to that one. Can you see that on the camera? I just wanna make sure people can see that.
Huge.
It's fucking insane.
It was three people. Me, my friend, I'm gonna say her name, Sandra. Me, my friend Sandra, and my friend who took pictures. Yep. We're not in cages.
Did you have a close call? I mean,
I never posted these. I never took a video. I never did anything.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, did you have a close call in terms of being eaten? Did any of them start to nibble at your feet?
They would come. And then what I learned is that when they come, you push them away or something like that. That's what I learned. So my friend Sandra knew that, and she did that. Nobody touched me though. They didn't touch me because they were throwing food. No, qué mierda, bro. Like, that was nobody. And I don't tell this story because I don't want anybody to know or anybody to say it or do it. You shouldn't. It was just
Don't do it. This is something that you should tell people, by the way, because there's so many people I know who have a breakup with somebody. And then they do something stupid. They drive drunk. You know, I know someone very close to me that she broke up with her boy. Her boyfriend actually broke up with her. She went driving.
Yes.
She hit a pole, thankfully.
Yeah. I'm not
Didn't
kidding.
Kill anybody, but
don't do that. Okay, so like someone broke up with me. I was drunk for a week. And then one of the drunk nights I was like, let's go out and swim with sharks. Not in cages, bull sharks with no protection. Don't ever do that. That is, as I said, that's because someone breaks up with you, please don't. I was very naive. It was a long time ago. Not now. I'm happy now. Married. But no, don't do that.
So a lot of people in business who are famous don't like hanging around with people in the same business. You've said similar things. I know you have friends that are influencers, Hannah, but are most of your friends now not in the business, and why? Why do you want to have more friends not in the business than in the business?
Depends. I mean, when it comes, for example, like Dancing with the Stars, they were in the business, but they were different. Because I mean, they're new friends, so they just met me now when I'm established. However, like the people that I keep are the ones that knew me before I was here, and they are in the business, though. Like Hannah, you know, or Juanpa, or Tuan, they're all in the business, they're my best friends, but they knew me before I was as I am now. So Right now, I like to be friends with. I don't like to be really friends with like just like. People. I mean, I love to hang out with them, and obviously, I go out, and then people will see a post and everything. One person in particular who I love, and I know she's famous, but she's actually so humble. Became actually a really good friend, and people are very shocked that I'm friends with her because we don't really post so much together, but we're really together all the time. Is Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton is amazing, and I've shared many moments with her that are incredible, and I love her. Another person that I've shared many moments, and nobody really knows that I hang out with her, and she is famous, is Teeny. Teeny's brilliant, and I adore her. She's a very famous Argentinian singer. She's been there when I cry, when I laugh, when I'm drunk, I call her. We have a lot of stories, and nobody knows, though. Nobody knows. And Anita. Anita's amazing.
So Paris Hilton, who I am dying to have on my show, a lot of people think she is a ditz.
What's ditz?
Ditzy, not very smart, airhead blonde.
Nobody thinks that. Nobody can think that.
Dumb blonde. Well,
impossible.
Well, they do. I mean, if people don't know her. So she spoke at a conference, doing a keynote called the SALT Conference. It was a financial conference.
Yeah.
Mostly men there in suits, I'd say 75% men. And she got up there to talk about her career, entrepreneur, businesses, investment, marketing plan. She's amazing. And I think a lot of people don't know. Tell us something about Paris Hilton that people don't know.
Something about Paris Hilton that she doesn't know is that she didn't really have. It's not all happiness. She actually, she's probably talked about this actually. She's had a dark childhood. Like she had the dark moments in her life, and I was in one of them. Things that people don't know about Paris Hilton is that she will do the best she can to make you feel accepted, wanted, welcomed. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. She will do it. She actually cares, like, to make you feel good.
What was the darkest moment that you shared with her?
We were both going through a really bad relationship. And just like, you know how, you know, bad relationship. And I think we got close because of that.
She's happily married now.
Happily married now.
Successful venture capitalist.
And when
great guy
that I've known
a long time.
When she got engaged, I cried and I told her, "You found the Prince Charming, the person that you deserved." And same with me.
I want to talk about how much of your life is public versus private. I mean, you share a lot of things that are real, but there must be a lot of things that are private behind closed doors that you don't want to share. What are those things, and why don't you make everything public?
Things that I don't make things public. I think I don't make public how intense and how much. I think I don't make public how much comments and haters make me feel. Like what happens to me with the breakdowns that I have. You know, I don't really show that. I'll show like a picture of like me crying or something like. But not, like, there's a difference of you crying and there's a difference of, like, what actually, like, how intense it could, the toll that it can get on you, right? That's what you say, the toll?
Yeah, the toll. Emotional toll.
Yeah.
Mental toll.
Yeah, the mental toll. Yeah. I don't think, because you know what? I don't want, like, let's say someone makes a bad video of me or does something. I don't want people to see how I'm reacting while seeing that video. You know? It's a different thing. So
but it's still real. It makes you real. I mean, do you post if you get in a fight with your husband or you get in a fight with your family? Because that's real. We all do, right?
I've never posted when I get into a fight with Guayna. So I guess there. I never post when I get into a fight with Guayna or a fight with Hannah or a fight with my family. No, I don't post that.
So, all right, we'll talk about your husband. You met him at a Universal Music video. Tell us what you saw when you met him and why you're in love with him and why you married him.
Okay, so this is a very controversial story, actually.
Controversial?
Very, 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 very.
Okay.
So they cut this story in half. So I'll tell you what happened. So this is what happened. I met Guayna because I was doing a music video with Liano, one of his best friends. I was doing Los Putis, that's the song. He came to meet me. He knew who I was. I made videos of I made a video of his song, Rebota. And I made a video of his song, Rebota, and I posted it, whatever. He came to the music video, he met me, it was super cool, he was super nice, he was sad, I think. I don't know why he was sad, so I was like, let's go out, let's have fun, let's go to Floridita, this place in LA. We did, nothing happened. I mean, we stayed in contact, and we talked a lot, and what happened was, like, he fell in love with me, like, really, really bad. Like, he would, like, come to LA and go into places where I was. Like, he did a lot, you know? Like, he would, like, you know, like he would get, like, come to LA, make it seem like he was coming for work, but he was coming for me.
He stalked you?
No, he didn't stalk me.
A little bit?
No, not really.
Okay, followed you?
No, he did, like, 2 times when he was, like...
Okay.
Yeah, no. Like, he didn't really stalk me, that's the thing. Like, he...
Well, by the way, I don't mean that in a creepy way. I mean it in a loving way.
Yeah. I mean, for me, stalking is like you're following me around and I'm walking. No. I mean, like, he would, like, go to LA when he had the chance and, like, try to get, like, a hotel near where I live just in case, like, and be like, hey, I'm here. Like, let's do something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he actually, like, really wanted to hang around and go on dates with me. Because he lives in Puerto Rico.
Right. So, you met him, you exchanged cell numbers, we'll see what happens.
I met Guayna, and he did a lot to you know, to be with me, because he loved me and he was in love with me. Right. However, I told him I didn't love him. He said, I love you, and I said, thank you. Yeah.
That must have made him feel great.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, I told him, thank you. And he was like, okay. And he left. Never saw him again. And then... We had recorded a song before that happened, and it was at the Nota. And then he left, and then I saw him again. And when I saw him, I was like, I saw him for the first time, and I was like, hey, how are you? And he was so indifferent with me. He was so cold. I didn't like that. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And my friends started being like, I think you like him. Maybe you like the attention. You know, at the beginning, I was like, I like the fact that, you know, he doesn't care. You know, that he's like, okay. Maybe he's a little thing that I have, whatever. So we made the music video. And in the music video, we were just laughing and whatever and everything. And he was still super indifferent, hated me. And I was like, oh, like, I'm seeing him differently. And I don't like that. And I got into fights with my friends because they were like, you like him later. You're starting to like him. You're starting to miss him. You're starting to miss the things that he used to do. Send you flowers. He did this and this. You're starting to miss it because he left and you don't have it anymore. And I was like, no, I don't like Guayna. I don't like him. Fuck you. Like, I don't like Guayna. And then we started to get to know each other more, Guayna and me and everything. And my God, I started to miss him. And I was like, oh my God, I miss him. And I told him, I was like, I think I really like you. And he was like, well, I don't. You're gonna have to prove to me that you actually do like me, that you actually love me. I don't want to get something with you, Lele, and then you're gonna leave. He doesn't have time for that, you know. So he's like, if you really love me, like, I want to see that you love me, not because you say it, because I'm ignoring you. And I did everything in my power to prove to him that I loved him, that I wanted to win him back. He said, "Win me back," he said. And I did everything possible to win him back.
Like what?
I would do parties, hoping that he would come to the parties, you know, like, and see me there. In high school, like, you when there's no high school, so now you have to make the parties. You know, in high school, you're like, oh my God, I hope he's there. Maybe he'll, you know, to run into each other. I would do that. I would be like, hey, have you ever talked to Guayna? Like, you know, say something nice about me or something. Say I'm pretty. When everyone in high school has done it. Like, if he asks about you, like, say that I'm nice or something.
Working it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I said all that stuff. And then what else have I done? I did many things. I mean, all that stuff. I never, like went out to look for him. I don't know where he was. But I did. I try to find moments where I can see him. You know, so I can actually talk to him or flirt with him because he blocked me. So there's no way of me even being with him. So I did everything, I guess, that I could have. And then he still didn't like me. And I left to LA. And then a month later, he came and he was like, let's try it. And then everything was more calm and good and collective. Everything was more calm and good. And then we became where we become now. We were in love. We were really good to each other. But there was obviously that. So when I said this story, many people cut the part that he wanted me and all that stuff and cut to I met him that way. Like, I did all this stuff to meet him. You know what I mean? People thought that the way that I met Gwaina was by me doing, like, by doing all this stuff, and that's how he met me. But no, I didn't meet him like that. That was like me getting him back. You know what I mean? He came first, left, and then I did everything.
But who cares about the other one? What's wrong with that? You like a guy and you do things that you're gonna meet him.
Yeah,
I think it's
the
great.
I think
it's fucking great.
That's the problem. I was too honest with what I did. And when you're too honest and you're not private, people will get into you and be like, she stalked him. She manipulated him. She did all this stuff. She harassed him. They told me, and I was like, but I never did this. Yeah. He's a grown man. Like, he knows I did parties for him. He knows I told his friends that to please, like, talk good about me. He knows I did everything. My God, I don't know what else. My God, what else did I do? I don't remember what I said in the interview. Yeah, I did a lot.
So here's a guy who's straightforward with you, who likes you, who tells you he likes you, and then he tells you he loves you. I was single 7.5 years before I met my amazing wife, Madison. We've been together now 10 years, most amazing wife in the world. But when I was single for 7.5 years, if I liked a woman, I would send her a note that night. I'd say, I really enjoyed meeting you. I'm looking forward to a second date. Yeah. If you'll go out with me, I'd send them flowers. And you know what? The advice I got from people is, dude, what are you doing? This is stupid, you know?
Yeah, people were like, oh my God, like, it wasn't authentic. Authentic?
Yeah.
Bro, no, but let me tell you something. Keep it going.
People say, hey, you know, lay off, you know? Like, women don't like it when you are, in this case, a nice guy. I was getting advice. Don't be a nice guy. Women like bad boys. And obviously, a lot of them don't, but some of them do. There's a lot of people there who are your followers who like what would be known as bad guys, right? I mean, not bad human beings, but you know, hey man, don't come after me. Right? I need you to tell me right away how much you like me.
So the thing here is, yes, we love bad boys. I love bad boys, and Gwaina was so nice to me. Gwaina was amazing. Gwaina was not a bad boy, and that's why I was like, you know? So a couple months later, after, you know, moments, I was like, my God, I deserve a nice guy. What the hell am I doing? I had a nice guy right here, and I let him go because I told him thank you when he loved me, you know? And then I met him, and I realized what I had, and I did not, you know, cherish it. And then that's why I was like, I have to do everything that I can in a not a legal way, you know, right. Like in a legal way,
right.
To win him back, because I had him. And I did all that stuff. And honestly, people were like, wow, she's crazy. She did all this. And I was like, yes, I did a lot. But look at me now. I am happy. He's worth fighting for. I would 100% do the same thing because I have the best man I could have ever asked for. And all of my friends, sorry, are breaking up. And me and Gwaina are super in love. Like, you know, so then we have very, very, very stable. We're good. We're really good to each other. And it's hard to find. I'm sorry. It's really hard to find in this stage, like a really stable, like everything, you know, like best friend almost relationship. Like, it's hard.
Why do women and why did you like bad guys?
Oh, me? Okay. Yeah. I like what I can't have. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like, so good. So many people.
Yeah, if you're a bad guy, I'm like, makes me feel like I need to win him over. You know, like he's bad to me. We like the thrill. We like the going after someone. You know what I mean? We like it. We don't like it easy. Many girls don't like it easy. You know, we don't like that. We don't like too much attention. We like to fight for it. So he was amazing, and he actually didn't become a bad guy, but he was a nice guy who became hard to get.
Right.
There, so that was perfect. But he, yeah. But I liked the worst. I liked the worst, guys. I really had a horrible, horrible relationships. Horrible, horrible relationships. Really bad.
And then at some point, you said, okay, it's time. And by the way, all the women who didn't want to go out with me, who didn't like me, and there were tons of them, you know, you're too straightforward, you're clean cut, whatever. And I dated the wrong women while I was looking for the right woman. And then when I found Madison, I met her, I flew to New York, you know, take her to dinner. I lied, I'm coming out there for the Freeze art fair. I wasn't coming out there for the Freeze art fair, and we went out two nights, I stayed the weekend, and then we got engaged 3 months later. So I think you gotta go after what you want. And I remember the night before.
They always ask me, Oh, keep on going.
The night before, I'm at a dinner at Giorgio Baldi, amazing restaurant in Santa Monica, and I'm with a very interesting group of people. A famous director next to me, we're talking about dating in Los Angeles. He said, hey, you know, what do I have to do this weekend? I said, well, I'm actually going to New York to take a woman to dinner. And he looked at me and he said, dude, you're a fucking loser. You have to go to New York to go out on a date. And I said, well, I met her a few years ago. We became texting friends. I mean, I texted her 3 times. Then she made a post and on Facebook, going to Hawaii with my boyfriend. And, you know, I can't wait 2 weeks. And I said, oh, is this the engagement trip? And she wrote back, hardly. And then I sent, you know, a text. Oh, God, you know, you're too great. You know, blah, 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 blah. And then I checked in with her 4 days later. Uh-huh. And she said, I said, how's the trip going? Oh, we broke up. I'm like, all right, great. I said, I'd like to come to New York and, you know, take you to dinner. And so do it now, because if you miss it by a second, if some guy gets in there first, I had insider information, right? In the corporate world, you go to jail for this. But in the loving world, it's like first in time. And I got really, really lucky. I saw that guy 4 years later, the director. I'm like, hey, so you know the dinner we had 4 years ago at Giorgio Baldi? He said, yeah, well, I got to tell you, he's like, I fucking know. I heard it. Congratulations.
Oh my God. You see? I think that one of the things that Gwaina liked about me, I never lied about any of this stuff to him. He knew everything I did. And he liked me because I worked so hard to get him, to win him back. I did a lot. Crazy shit I haven't even said. But he knows them all. And he loves them. And, you know, like, it's good to know that somebody fought for you. Yeah. It's good to know.
Yeah.
And I feel like your wife is so lucky. Like,
oh, thank you.
It's the truth. Like,
I'm luckier than she is, by the way.
You know, it's good. Oh, that's,
yeah.
It's, you know what? It's something that people say. And I'm like, no, I'm very against it. It's like, people are like, oh, you got married. You're good. That's when it starts. That's when you have to work the hardest. When you get married, it's not like, oh, I got married, I made it. No. When you get married, you have dates, you try, you give details, you do stuff. You continue. It's not because I got married. All good now. We're all good. You're not good. This is where it starts. And me and Gwaina have something that we have every single day we try to. Not seduce. How do you say it? We try to not conquer. How do you say it? To make each other fall in love with each other again and again and again. Every single time. New ways.
At my wedding, an amazing rabbi named Steve Leder gave great advice. He said the two most important words in any marriage are, I'm sorry. And it's very profound when you think about it, because you have to put your partner's needs above your own. That's one of the most important ingredients of a successful marriage.
Yeah.
And the ability to say, I'm sorry, not only in a marriage, but in a life is just so important.
It's a team. You gotta stop pretending like you're not involving the other person. The person's involved. You're a team. Like, you have to think for him too, or for her, you know?
So in all of our lives, we have role models, idols that we want to meet one day. You had a few. Sofia Vergara, Shakira. And at some point after one of her concerts, you met Shakira. You posted, this is the best night of my life.
Still is.
I waited 20 years to meet her. Wait, it's the best night of your life?
Still,
more than your wedding night?
Probably, yeah.
More than your wedding night?
I was drunk. I don't remember.
You were drunk?
No, I love my wedding night. Yeah. But,
Can why was it so 10? Great?
10, top 10.
Okay, top 10? I mean, top three?
No, top 10.
Top 10?
Top 10, for sure. Like, I can tell you that for sure.
Okay, what was so great about meeting her?
I mean, it's like meeting someone that, like, it's like a manifesting thing. Like, I've always wanted to meet her. Years of anticipation, and the moment arrives, and everything that you ever wanted. You know, it's very rare. Usually people meet their idol and it's not what they think. And it was everything I thought. Everything was perfect. She's amazing. As I said, she has helped me many times with my mental health. So meeting the person that has helped me, it's like, that's when you know I made it. I'm famous. I made it. I made it that to that room. I'm famous. I'm good. I'm done. Like, she's such a great role model. And I need to take advantage that she's alive. So.
You've kept in touch with her? You become good friends with her?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No!
You only met her once, one and done?
Two times. Every single time I black out. I don't know what I said.
You black out?
I black out. Every single time. I don't know. I'm actually very passionate about things when I love them. So I'm very passionate about being like a Shakira's fan. So I'm a very passionate fan.
Have you met Sofia Vergara?
Yeah. She's great. But it was more. It's more. I love Sofia Vergara, but I would like actually do something with her. Like I would like a friend. But
you're friends with her?
Like no, I'm not. But I'm just saying like Shakira's more of like I put her in a pedestal.
Right.
You know, and Taylor Swift. Like I'm obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Wow, like, that's your.
Yeah. Like, but really,
people don't really
know that much because Taylor Swift has the best fan base, such a big fan base, and I just like I feel like I don't want to just like intrude. So I'm like a huge Taylor Swift fan, but I'm not gonna because you know like it's very like it's like a club, you know, and I'm like I really want to join the club. I've been a fan for a long time, but I really don't want to get rejected by the club, so I don't say it.
Did you meet her at one of her concerts?
No.
Didn't go backstage?
No.
Did you buy tickets on Ticketmaster? Like,
of course I did that.
Probably knew somebody, right? You said, hey, get me some good tickets.
No, I bought them. My husband bought them.
Okay. Yeah. I met Sofia Vergara once.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't told this story before. I've told parts of it, but I'll, you know, we've shared a lot of things with each other, and I've shared some things that I've never shared before. Oh. So here we go. So. I have a nice home in LA. I was very fortunate at a young age to build my dream home. I'm very lucky. And by the way, there isn't a day that I don't drive in my long driveway with a gate and just say, gosh, you know, I'm so lucky to live here and I'm so grateful. So Modern Family wants to do a photo shoot at my house.
Yeah.
And Sofia Vergara is coming.
Oh my God.
And I'm pumped.
Yeah.
And I'm single. And I can't wait to just, you know, take my shot.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Right?
Yeah.
There's another celebrity, and I'll tell this story as well. But so she comes, and, you know, they have a makeup. We have a guest house. She's in there doing the makeup, and then she does the shoot. And then she's taking a break. I said, oh, I'm Randy. I'm the homeowner here. And I said, would you like to have dinner sometime? And she looked at me, and she said, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but this is exactly what she said.
Yeah.
She said, sure, I'd love to. It's not like you're going to rape me or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
What the fuck is that?
Why do I see her saying that?
What? How?
Oh my
Excuse
God.
Me?
Excuse
me?
I love
that. So she gave me her phone number, and do you know how many great dinners we had?
How many?
Zero.
None.
Zero. Ghost.
Oh my God.
Ghost.
Oh,
but hey, you know, okay. you gotta take a shot.
Yeah.
So many celebrities, influencers I know, you know, they meet people who they date, they slide into their DMs, right?
Of course.
It's tough because how else are you gonna meet someone? You know, you can't call CAA or Endeavor and say, oh gosh, you know, I'm Randy Kaplan. I'm a nobody. And, I'd like to date this movie star. That's not going to happen. So, I'm sure a lot of your friends and maybe when you were single, people were sliding into your DMs.
I never checked any.
Never.
I swear to God.
You don't check any of your DMs.
I don't check my request stuff. Like I can't tell you I've had a DM from a guy, a famous person. No. And if I have, I haven't seen it.
Not a famous person. Well, okay.
Or even people. I don't.
You don't read your DMs.
Not really. I don't know why. I guess I forgot that part of the app.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when I was single, I wanted to meet people who I was attracted to. And, you know, because I think you can't have a good relationship unless you are. And, you know, sometimes you meet people. I take very nice vacations. I'm very grateful, can afford them. And sometimes there's interesting people. You go to Four Seasons and... You know, by the way, Kristen Bell was at the Four Seasons, by the way, one time. And I had gone to the resort, the one in Kona. I'd been there 20 times, right? Two times a year, kids vacation. Kids love it. We love it. And I'm the guy that takes 1,000 photographs of my kids, right? Yeah. We have pictures of us jumping into the pool, you know, with our feet up in the air, whatever. So I'm taking photos. security guard comes up to me and says, hey, you know, no photos. And he works there, I mean, and I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, there's someone here who's very well known. And I said, yeah, I know. And he said, and he doesn't want you taking photos. I said, I don't give a flying fuck if he doesn't want me to take. I said, I've been here a bunch of times, and I'm gonna take photos all day long. And if he doesn't like it, he'd get the fuck out of here, because my money is just as good as his money. On that same trip, there was an actress who I had seen in a movie. She'd won a whole bunch of things. She was married. And you know, sometimes you look at someone for a little extra second and you say, all right, well, you know, it was a like extra second, right? I'm married, she's married, nothing weird going on. And then I see her a few years later at Soho House in LA. You've been to Soho House,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
A million times, right? Sure, you hang out there. I mean, it's like it's a very cool spot. So I see her there, and again, like, she didn't recognize me, I don't think. But again, it was, she was with a guy.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was single, and I gave her an extra long look.
Yeah.
And she didn't look away. So I said, okay, whatever. And I didn't know. I went up to her and I said, oh, by the way, you know, we met at the Four Seasons, you know, a long time ago, and said, okay, and the guy's there. Maybe he was 4 feet away, so he didn't hear what I was saying, and said, so good to see you again. So I said, all right, well, how am I going to get a hold of her? I know people at CAA. I know senior people there. My first wife, Laura, used to work for Ron Meyer, who ran CAA for a long time. So I said, gosh, how am I going to do this? So I found out her production company, right? They've got a number. So I sent over, I don't know if it was, I was like 2 dozen roses, and I said, it was so nice to see you last night, and I'd love, you know, take you to dinner. Nothing, right?
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
All right, well, you know, that didn't work.
Keep going.
So two months later, I get a call.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, I know I sent these, I don't check my messages, no one told me that you sent these roses, and I just said, hey, I'm flattered. She said, I'd love to go out with you, but the guy I was with is my boyfriend. I said, well, okay, great. I said, how did you meet him? I'm just curious. That I'm walking down the street in France, and he came up to me, and he asked me for a cup of coffee.
Oh.
I thought that was crazy. Mm-hmm. I thought that was crazy.
That's fucking
an Oscar winner, award-winning actress, some dude in France, by the way, who has no job. He doesn't work. And he goes, I found that very interesting. So I think it's interesting to be an influencer, actor, actress, musician, because it's hard to meet high quality people. I think that's the message
honestly,
of my
you,
story.
You probably don't know any of my my boyfriends, because they're not famous.
Yeah. You've said that life is like a fight, and it's like a great boxer. What does that mean?
I think I said that?
Yeah.
I said that. What? Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Life is like a fight, and it's like a great boxer. Well, I feel like boxers get a lot of obstacles, not just one. You know, it's a lot of obstacles, and some knock you down, and some you win. So I think you know, like, but you're stable. You're in one place, and then you keep on going in and out and in and out. And there's those people that help you and give you advice, and whether you take them or not. So it's like life. I feel like life is like that. You know, it's all about obstacles. It's all about the fight. It's all about you win or you lose. And when you win, it's amazing. And when you lose, everyone knows and everybody's around, everybody remembers and everything. It's like a boxing match. And it's tough. But at the same time, at the end, it all kind of work, like sorts out. You know how the like, boxers are like, you know, it all sorts out. It's all, and it's only for like one night.
You gotta get up again. Let's talk about success and work ethic, which I believe is the most important ingredient to our success, hands down.
Yeah.
Talk about your work ethic. You're doing it just 7 days a week. Do you ever take a day off? What's your work day like?
I have. It's annoying because like the ideas that I give, I don't really like to like. I like to do ideas that no one else has done, like my videos. I really, really try. So it's like if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It might be a week I don't post because I didn't get an idea. It might be a day that I get 5 ideas and I shoot them all, you know? So it's a wave. It's a big wave. So I think It depends on what's going on. I am actually right now better than before, because before it was just every single day, every single day, and now I'm more calm. I've done that. I've lived that. And I'm more, and now I have a, I want to start a family. I want to be with Gwaina. I want to be calmer. Like, yeah, that's what I want.
One of the things that's made me very successful is something I call extreme preparation.
Okay.
So that means preparing more than anybody else, always being the most prepared person to step foot in any room. How has extreme preparation led to your success?
I think it's because, well, Vine was gonna die. I was prepared to go somewhere else. I already had that platform, Instagram, to go to. Evolving and transitioning before anybody else, that's preparation, you know? Same with, you know, like TikTok, right? Let's say that. If TikTok gets banned or whatever, you have 6 months. What are you gonna do? Prepare yourself when that happens. You have 6 months. What are you gonna do? For example, you know, you can't, don't wait until the last minute to do stuff. If I have a video idea, if I wanna do something, start now thinking about it for next year. If you know next year you want to be in a movie or you want to, I don't know, make an album, go to singing classes. Years prior, you know what I mean? Like preparation, you gotta, you, every single, that's, but, and I also don't do things that I'm not prepared in. I don't like it. I will not go to anything that I'm not prepared. I don't do that. I'd rather not go than if I'm not prepared.
So your team has told you, drink tea in the morning, hot tea in the morning. Don't scream at concerts.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Not myself.
Yourself. So those are extremely important. Yeah,
that's an example, though.
Most people don't think about that. Mm-mm. You know, you got to save your voice. You're a singer. You're a content creator.
Don't smoke. Don't do drugs. Like, don't.
Don't smoke. Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
What are the, let's shift gears for a second to talk about money. You ever been motivated by money? Never.
I'm really bad money. I'm bad with money.
But did you ever say, shit, you know, this is my first $1 million?
No,
you know?
Yeah, no, I'm super grateful. No, money is one of the most important things. But I want enough to be stable and good. I'm not here trying to, like, get, like, if I had a lot of money, right? I would use it, for example, to travel, know about the world. Iceland, I just went to Iceland when I go to Africa. I probably wouldn't use it for, a car. I'm good with my Toyota. But, you know, I just want to, you know, a transportation, you know?
You have a Toyota right now?
Yeah.
What model?
I don't even know. I have a picture, though.
Yeah. You don't know what,
no,
what
I don't.
Model you have?
No, I don't really, like, I'm not so materialistic.
How old is your car?
I don't know. Can you tell by looking at it?
I'm not a car guy, but I'm going to have a look.
Okay. This model?
I think... Yeah, it's a little kind of mini hatchback, mini SUV.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Not fancy.
No. I mean, I have a house because it's a good investment, and I love right. Yeah, that for sure. But I'm not like, I don't have anything on. Like, even my wedding ring is in a box because I don't want to, like, lose it. And I don't really, like, you know, like, it's my pajama. But I put like
this. It's a good looking pajama.
It's a beautiful fucking pajama, and yeah. I wear it all the time with a heel. It looks like it's not.
You sleep in that pajama? It's got some things that could fall off.
I don't sleep in it, but it's like very comfortable. It's like something right. that you would sleep with. I'm very comfortable. I do like to use money for like travel, my family, the future of my kids, stuff like that. But I don't and I've used it in really horrible moments too, like for parties. I should have not used it for fucking parties. But I'm trying right now, I'm more mature to use it for the future. If I want to make a movie, for example, saving it, you know?
I think people would be shocked that was your car. I think most people would think you have a very nice car. Do you fly first class? You fly coach?
Yeah, there should be people out there who have seen me in coach and taken pictures of me.
But
sometimes I fly in first class, but no, not really.
But you make a lot of money.
Yeah, but I want to save for like other things.
What's your financial goal in the next 3, 5, 10 years?
I want to, my financial goal, like, does it have to be a number?
My goal was I want to be a millionaire by the time I was 30 years old. You know, at some point I said, God, I want my net worth to be $10 million. And at some point in LA, a minimum nice house and a nice suburb is $5 million. Right? So it keeps, as you keep getting a different lifestyle, the number gets higher.
I would love 10 million, but why though? Not for me. I would love it for the future of my grandchildren and my kids. Yeah.
So you're saving for the future?
Yes.
And you have people who are advising you
yes.
to save your money and
yes.
you have good financial advisors?
Yes.
Explain how the money works on when you're a influencer. You get paid CPM, certain.
I mean, everybody gets like a percentage, you know? Like right. You get a brand deal, everybody gets a percentage.
Right. So it's views on the platforms. They fill them with ads.
Yeah.
Sponsors.
Yes.
Brand partnerships.
Yes, brand partnerships with
them. Appearances.
Yeah, yeah. Appearances. Yes.
So if you have a million views on YouTube,
yeah,
what does an influencer make?
I don't know. I mean, with a million views right now, Snapchat is going crazy. Snapchat is like amazing.
They're paying more because they want to attract the content creators.
Really good. But it all depends. Like I have never been really good with money. Like I'm really like, when I say good, I've never been really, I should have been more on top of it. I usually have someone on top of it because I just create. And then like, I'm someone that like, I probably got fucked over many times. And now I know better.
How old were you when you made your first $1 million?
Like 19? 19, yeah. I think so.
Did you say, holy shit, I'm a millionaire at 19?
I literally was just like, mama, like, what do we do with it? Like, like, what do you want to do? And I saved it. I was like, okay, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know because I don't want to be stupid. I've been stupid with it, you know? I've been stupid. So like now every single time I get money and everything, I'm like, okay, how much do I, you have to know what goes in, what goes out. Like that's very important. Before it was like my mom took care of everything because I had no experience, nothing. But I was actually, I wanted more money because I liked the look of my mom's face. She was so happy. She was like very proud. And I was like, I like that. The feeling of making my parents proud.
My parents were proud when I made money too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like, it was like great. It was like, okay, that's keeping me from, I'm
good. It feels nice. Did you buy yourself one or two extravagant things, a new watch, or obviously you didn't get yourself a new car?
No, I didn't. No, you should smell the car. I need to change that. Maybe get like another car. Not a big one. But let's see. What did I buy? A house. That's nice.
In Miami?
Miami Shores.
And you bought it before you were married?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And then husband moved in your house with
yes.
you?
Yes, yeah.
Is it big enough for kids?
Yes, yeah.
It's Are you excited to have kids?
I would love to have kids.
How many kids do you want?
Three.
And boys, girls?
Boys. Boys are for the mom and the girls for the dad.
I love it. Except girl dad.
Me. You know, like daddy's little girl, mom, a mama's boy. You know, like those little things. Like because like boys like protect the mom a lot. Like I don't know if you with your mom you have a good relationship, but
yeah,
like
I have a great relationship with my
mom. Yeah, it's so different. And then girls with dads, it's just like it's different. It's like I don't know. That's really
cute. I have five kids, four girls.
Oh wow!
Twin girls.
So you're amazing. You're happy.
Two,
why
yeah.
not one's a girl?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best thing. You know, someone told me they gave me great advice. My friend Rick Rivera, who had four kids under five when I met him 20 something years ago, 30 years ago, and he said, "You'll find out the meaning of life when you have kids." And boy, that was an understatement. That's the most incredible thing. You take away all my money, my
I love
two
that feeling.
Homes. Yeah, I mean, it's great. You're
take my car.
you're gonna be in for something amazing. As we get near the end of the show, I want to talk about the importance of giving back. You have a huge platform. You can influence a lot of people. Talk about the charity concert you did and Richard Branson setting the plane.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in that moment, like that was a very intense moment because I kind of felt.
Well, tell people what it is, who Richard Branson is, if you don't know, and then he'll just call you up.
Live Aid. Yeah.
Yeah. The Venezuelan
live.
Concert.
It was Richard Gere is like he's a billionaire.
Richard Branson. Yeah.
Richard Branson is like a billionaire who helped do a charity event in Venezuela. What year? 2018? 2000.
I think it's 2000.
No, 2000. Yeah, 2000.
2018, 19.
17 or something, and it was in the border between Venezuela and Colombia, and it was a concert that we did. Many people, me and other two. Raise awareness of what was going on with Venezuela in the time, and it was a live aid. It was like, what was it? It was like to give, to raise
it was
money.
To raise. I mean, Venezuela was to unite the Venezuelan people, and that's things are not good in Venezuela these days.
It was to raise awareness and raise money for Venezuelan people, and it was apparently later it was like it didn't go as planned, with for sure.
What happened?
You know, as someone that left very early in Venezuela, it's easy to go back, do a concert, and leave and go back to your life, you know? So I wish, when I did that, I really wish I did more. My God, I wish I did more. I wish it wasn't an appearance. There's a difference between making an appearance and actually making something a consistent habit of doing something, you know? I probably got, you know, like, it's like people were like, oh, she got probably paid to just stand there and do it. Like, there's actual problems. Like, you want to do something? Donate. You want to do something? Promote constantly on your page. Go to Venezuela. I can't go, apparently. I can't explain why I can't go. I would love to go to Venezuela. I cannot explain why I can't go.
You're not allowed on the show, or you're not allowed?
Venezuela.
Oh, Venezuela won't let you go.
I can't explain why, but I would love. Okay. I will. I promise I will. Okay. I will go.
Sorry, just to be clear, there's a reason why you can't go, but you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay. Yeah. You're a Venezuelan citizen. You became a U.S. citizen when you were 23 years old.
Yes.
How much importance did that have in your life? And
I'm very grateful to be Venezuelan. I'm very grateful to be a citizen in America. I'm grateful for everything. I swear to God, like, I am who I am today because of Venezuela. I'm today because of where I am, the people that I surround myself with, in America, 100%. And I'm very lucky. My God, I'm very lucky that Venezuela, I mean, Venezuela is beautiful. And I'm very lucky to be a Venezuelan because the people there, it's just really, for me, I'm very, in Miami, very united. Like, I'm going to shout out Marco, Corinna Smith, Elena Rose, Danny Ocean, all the people that are here in Miami. Like, I like the community that has come from, that have come from Venezuela and come to Miami.
I want to switch back, going to content creation.
Yeah.
Where do the ideas come from? And can you give three amazing ideas that are coming out of the show today?
Okay, content creation? Content creation?
Like, yeah, where do the ideas come from?
Oh, my God. Okay, let me explain. The ideas?
Yeah.
The ideas come from literally whatever happens, whatever experience is going on in my brain, whatever's happening. I see something funny. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make that into something. That's how the ideas come. All the ideas that I have, are just, some of them are really weird because my brain was going through something weird at the moment. But yeah, it's like inspiration. You have to be inspired. It's not like something you're gonna go right now and Google and be like, what are funny ideas to post?
Are there any funny ideas coming out of the show today?
I mean, for sure. You know what I mean? Like,
you gotta come up with some good ones.
I feel like, but for example, in this show, it's not about funny because there's moments here that people are gonna actually, because I'm talking, people are gonna have to relate to moments that have been actually short, because it has to be like 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
Productive, straight to the point, but has a really powerful meaning. That's what I would post, for example. Right. You know what I mean?
We've had a lot of those moments.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes. And that's what, when I was thinking, I was like, that would be a good moment to post.
Before we finish today, I wanna ask some more open-ended questions. Yeah. I call this part of my podcast, Fill in the Blank to Excellence. Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
The biggest lesson I've learned in my life is?
Love yourself. Love yourself more.
My number one professional goal is?
My number one professional goal is? Learn to take criticism.
My number one personal goal is?
My number one professional goal. I want to be a movie director.
What are you doing towards advancing that goal?
I want to do animated films first. I want to try to do that.
Self-funded, get funding from somebody else?
I know some people that do animated films, like just like my friends, and I want to create something very small, 5 minutes, you know? But you start small. You start small. So
then gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
My biggest fear is?
My biggest fear is forgetting.
The craziest thing that's happened in my career is?
Craziest thing that has happened in my career is? Marrying Guayna, because that came from a song. So that's pretty much crazy as well. Crazy.
The one thing I've dreamt about doing for a long time.
Actually, Dancing with the Stars. That's not, yeah, cool. I'm gonna shout them out. Okay, craziest thing in my career, Dancing with the Stars.
The one thing I've dreamed about doing for a long time but haven't is?
The one thing that I've dreamt about doing but haven't yet is having kids.
If you were president of the United States today, what was the first thing you would do?
Make Taylor Swift president, because why would I ever? I'm not a good president. I feel like, I don't know. I like her. I would vote for her.
if she ran, she would win by a landslide, I think. I mean, she, you know, her age demographic is young, but crazier things have happened before. If you could meet one person in the world, who would it be?
If I could meet her, Taylor Swift.
If you go back in time and give your 21-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Take breaks. Take many breaks.
The one question you wish I'd asked but didn't is?
You've asked everything, okay. What are your next goals in life like this year?
What are your next goals in life this year?
Oh, okay, cool.
I can't believe I thought of that.
I want to go to India, and I want to learn the culture, and I want to do content there. I actually want to go there and just do content, learn about the culture, collab, be with people, make music there. Yeah.
Because you want to lean into your fans there, or just because you?
Because my dad is going.
Oh, your dad's going to India.
Yeah, my dad like wants to live in India.
Must have lived there.
Yeah.
What makes him want to live there?
He's a spiritual person. Okay. Very, 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 very spiritual person. And he was there for like 30 days. He wants to go. And then I'm like, okay, I want to go too. And then when I said that I wanted to go, a lot of people were like, I want to collab. And I was like, okay, great. Collaborations. I'm going to be with my dad. I want to learn the culture. It's amazing. Bollywood, movies, everything. Yeah, I want to go.
I love it. This has been an amazing show, by the way.
Thank you.
You're incredibly amazing role model. Congratulations
on your incredible success. Thank you so much. You too. Thank you for crying with me.
It's a real moment. It's a real show.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm grateful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
To be honest, out of all the interviews that I've done, and I've done a lot, I feel like two things with this interview. You were actually very prepared. Very prepared with all the questions. But you actually listened to every single one. And you made me say things that I didn't feel comfortable because I didn't feel like that person had good intentions. And I feel like you do, you know? I feel like you actually give a shit. And so you're very, thank you. Thank you for being prepared. Thank you for knowing my stuff, my life. Not a lot of people knew many things that you did, so.
And I guess one last thing we didn't talk about, and we'll put this in the show. What are you working on that we can help promote?
I'm a curious person, because honestly, tomorrow I might change everything. Not yet. Not yet, because like going to India is me, you know? But not yet, maybe music when it comes out.
My friend Eric Garcetti, who is the mayor of Los Angeles, is now US ambassador to India. So when you go there, and if you want to meet him, I will set that up.
Yeah, there you go.
He's an amazing guy.
That'd be amazing.
So I'll make that happen.
That'd be great.
If it's something that you want to do.
Yeah,
It's very cool. I think you'd enjoy it.
I would love that.
I'm not going
anything,
to India.
Anything that can help me when I go to India.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to part 2 of my amazing podcast with Lele Pons, one of the most influential content creators of all time. 55 million followers on Instagram, 18.7 million followers on YouTube, the first Viner to hit 1 billion loops. If you haven't yet listened to part 1, be sure to check that one out first.